Welcome to Let's Talk Death, conversations to inform and inspire. Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a nonprofit providing the tools and resources to support one's journey with grief. We seek to empower individuals to achieve a healthy post-bereavement growth. Everything we do is inspired by our core belief that no one should ever grieve alone. Let's Talk Death is a series of conversations with some amazing people from various fields. Our goal through these conversations is to normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief. Hello, welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Death. I'm Fran Solomon.
And I'm Andy McNeil.
And we are thrilled to be your hosts for these conversations.
Our guest today is Tashay Mason. Tashay Mason, a Texas native, served 16 years in the U.S. Army, obtained her master's degree in social work from the University of Texas in Arlington, and is a licensed social worker. She currently works at a Veterans Affairs Health Center as a social worker helping veterans with mental health and substance use issues. She is also a volunteer group facilitator at a grief counseling center for children whose parents have died. Tashay started writing to share inspirational stories with others, and she began with the most painful event in her life, the death of her father. With the help of her family, including her military family, therapy, volunteering, and dealing with her emotions, Tashay was finally able to say goodbye and wrote her first children's book, But I Don't Want to Say Goodbye, which was released this year. Tashay, we are delighted to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Tashay, let me ask you, before we go into your lifelong journey to your book, I'd like to take you back to when you were that nine-year-old little girl and your father died. Can you share with our audience your experience on that?
Absolutely. I remember we were living in Arkansas at the time, and it was a school day. And I remember coming home from school, and my mom told me she wanted to speak with me. And she had this look on her face, and initially I was wondering, did I do something wrong at school? Did I get in trouble? And then I looked at her face a little bit more and realized something was wrong. And she sat me on the couch, and that's when she told me that my father had died. And he died in a car accident. There was just so much hurt, confusion, anger are all wrapped up. And part of that time, there are some things I don't remember that my mom helped me fill in the blanks on. But I remember the funeral. I remember seeing his body in a casket. It still didn't feel real to me. I remember going to the gravesite. But interestingly, my mom said there was a wake. I don't even remember the wake. And she said, I went down to view the body for a very long time. And to this very day, it's like I have no memory of that. Growing up, you know, as the years went on, trying to not deal with my emotions was what I, you know, really focused on, because I didn't want to talk about how I felt. I dealt with it internally, even though my mom was very, very supportive of, hey, look, let's talk about it. Let's get it out. You know, I can see it's bothering you. I didn't want to feel anything other than being happy. So if it wasn't about being happy, I didn't want to deal with it. And so in school, I was very focused. I was focused on my studies. I was focused on the activities that I was in. And I began to act out in different ways, but it was more of having an attitude. I didn't do anything like sneak out the house or anything like that, but it was just the way I responded to people. And my mom, she noticed it, and she wanted to continue to talk about it. And even as an adult, I was trying my best to avoid having deep relationships with people, because I would always think about what would happen if I invested in that relationship. There were times that I would think about my mom, and I come from a blended family because my dad was married to my stepmom at the time. So I'm the oldest of four girls. So what about my sisters? What about my mom? What about my stepmom? What about my grandparents? So all these different thoughts of what if they go away, and where does it leave me? So as I met people over the years, I would be very sarcastic. I would, you know, have, you know, various attitudes, if, you know, trying to keep people away. But in doing that, some of them saw right through it, and I connected with them on a deeper level that I would have never thought about connecting before. And so by the time, you know, went through college a little bit, then went to the military, and I connected with so many people that I was trying to just, you know, going to keep it professional, business only. But you can't do that in the military because you're around people all the time, and especially people that you work with. Right. So it finally took me, I'd say maybe about 5 or 10 years ago, to actually go to therapy and to deal with those emotions and to actually acknowledge those emotions and be okay being in that moment. If I want to cry, cry, and everything like that. And so also realizing I didn't like to cry in front of people. And I, you know what? And I used to think that that was just something I developed on my own. And my therapist was asking me, well, where did you get this from? I was like, well, I think maybe because my dad died and I want to express it. And she said, well, no, it may be a little deeper than that. Well, the interesting thing was my mom and I had a conversation after I wrote the book. And she asked me, she said, you never saw me cry, did you? And I said, no. And thinking back on it, I never saw her grieve. Even though her and my dad weren't together anymore, they were still really good friends. And I never saw that piece of her. I saw her being very strong and taking care of her family and everything. But that piece I didn't see. And I didn't think that was really significant until, you know, talking to the therapist and then thinking about it, writing the book, and then talking to my mom about it. And I was like, wow. So that does explain some things about how I felt and how I didn't want to express in that way. And so through therapy now, you know, I'm still working through those emotions because for so long I've been just trying to be strong and happy and not acknowledging the other human emotions that are perfectly normal and being vulnerable. And I'm learning that it's okay to be that way.
Yeah. Tashae, first of all, thank you for sharing.
Amazing.
Story. I mean, people who watch our episodes are touched by the stories of our guests because they've been through, they have their own story, and it helps them to relate. And like you said, to know that these are normal emotions. They're hard and they're, you know, they're challenging and all those things, but they're normal. They're just kind of, it's how we're made and developed as human beings. What struck me though, in everything you said was certainly struck me, but what really struck me was your use of you said it 2 or 3 times, was that sense of being vulnerable and making ourselves vulnerable to other people, and even grief, making ourselves vulnerable to grief. There's a book, The Road Less Traveled, I think it is, by Scott Peck. And he says in there, he says, love anything, a person, a pet, a thing, love anything. And it may die. And that's the risk. He said, you know, it's a risk. Like, love is this risk, and it makes us vulnerable to loss and to grief and to all of these emotions. He goes on to say, if you choose not to be vulnerable, though, you lose out on part of what makes life life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so well done. And I heard that in what you were saying, was this, that you're able to now, you know, really capture some things that maybe you couldn't. And I also heard you say, there were people in your lives who, even though you tried to keep it at arm's length, you just couldn't. In particular, in the military, you just couldn't because it's family and it's too difficult to do.
Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a 501c3. As a nonprofit, we are reliant on the kind generosity of our donors. If you are inspired by our mission, we ask you to go to healgrief.org/donations to help us continue our great work. No gift is too small.
Thank you for sharing that, though.
That was very important, and I'm gonna have to read that book that you were talking about. It's funny how when you look back and you kind of see where you came from and what you went through and where you are today, and you wonder, like, man, I should have got it sooner. But then it just wasn't that time. It really wasn't. Yeah.
Your story is part of what makes you you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've always been of the opinion, I don't know that there's a right or wrong way to do grief. It just is what it is. We don't have to be so quick to go in and fix something. It's just, it's a journey. And it's very much a part of our life on into our adulthood.
And it's a learning to adjust to that. I remember a few years ago, I went on a business trip to Buffalo, New York, actually, which is where my dad is from. And my cousin took me to where he and my uncle lived when they were kids. It was just a plot, but I thought it was pretty cool. I went to see where he went to high school, because the last time I was in Buffalo was with him, and I was 7 years old at the time. So to be an adult, to go there, and then when I got back to the hotel, I started feeling a lot of different emotions and wondering if he was alive today, what kind of conversation would we have? What would he be doing? You know, missing all of that. Mm-hmm. And I was actually okay feeling that way.
Yeah.
So I wanna go to your book. Tell us more about your book, But I Don't Wanna Say Goodbye.
So the idea came over a year ago. I wanted to write children's books, but I wasn't sure exactly which direction I wanted to go into. And then the idea popped up about me writing about a little girl processing her grief over the death of her father. When the idea first came up, I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this because it's touching on something that I'm not sure I'm fully there yet. So
but maybe that was the reason that book came to mind as the first book to write about. You were toying with your own.
I totally agree, because after about a year, the idea kept nagging at me. And yes, and that's what it was, because I was like, okay, this idea is not going away. So how am I going to write this? So I thought about how I wanted to structure it. And I knew I didn't want to use a traditional funeral. I remember how I felt with seeing my dad's body, even though there's absolutely nothing wrong with traditional funerals, but I remember how I felt and wanted to see if I wanted to kind of go in a different direction of how the service was going to go. About 5 or 10 years ago, I was watching, I think, the Travel Channel or Arts Entertainment. It was one of those channels. And I remember I was hearing about Sarasota, Florida, which is one of the places I was living when I was in the Army. And I said, oh, Sarasota, what are they talking about on Sarasota? And then they talked about the Eternal Reefs organization and seeing how they did the liver memorials. And I was like, and at the time I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So then when I thought about how I wanted to structure the book, I said, what was the name of that organization that I saw so many years ago? Let me try to find it. Let me Google it. And found the organization. And I was like, this is what I wanted to use. And so I reached out to them. Spoke with the CEO, spoke with the media relations, and told them what I wanted to do. And they were excited about the book. So I saw videos of their process. They explained to me how they did things. And so began the process of writing the book. And the first thing I did before I wrote anything about the book, I wrote down all my emotions, how I felt about losing my dad. And there was no order to it at all. I just wrote all these words and filled up the page. And then I folded it and then I put it away. And then I started to write. And then I think about a week or so later, maybe a little bit longer than that, I went back to that page and opened it up. And I was like, wow, these are a lot of emotions that I still feel to this day. Mm-hmm. And so and there were times where I put the book to the side because I was becoming really emotional when I wrote it. And then it was weird because I had a breakthrough. I felt really good at finally letting go of me holding on to saying goodbye to my dad, you know, and it was like the book was a release for me. And I'm 43 years old. And so it took all this time for me to finally say goodbye, but I will never forget you. And I'm really big on pictures. So I have pictures of him. I have pictures of us. And everything. And interestingly enough, last year, 2020, was the first year in a long time that I actually enjoyed Christmas because he died December 12th, 1986. Mm. Wow. So for a while, I would, you know, put on a front and say, yeah, okay, Christmas, da 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 da. But I really didn't want to celebrate it. I wanted it just to be a different day. And this year, I think it was really huge for me because my mom and I talked about the holidays, and she said, you know, your dad really enjoyed the holidays, right? And I said, yeah, I do. And he really loved Christmas. And I said, yeah. And so after writing the book and really being able to just really have that release, I was so looking forward to Christmas this year. And I'm actually looking forward to many other holidays too, because a lot of times when the holidays come around, you know, thinking about him and then I start feeling sad all over again and I just don't want to do anything. But luckily my family, because they're big on celebrating, kind of helped me along until I finally got to this point where I'm extremely ecstatic myself about celebrating.
Wow. Tashae, you made me think of another. I'm actually currently reading a book by Hope Edelman. And in the book, she talks about this very thing. And what she says is, sometimes we say goodbye so we can say hello. In other words, we say goodbye to the person because they died, and it's not the same relationship. But that way we can then say hello to the new relationship we have with them, with our memories of them and with our, you know, because we, you know, it's a different kind of connectedness and different existence. But anyway, I thought just to hear you say that, it's like, I don't want to say goodbye. There are some things we have to say goodbye to, but then now you got to be present at Christmas, right? It's like you got this gift by being able to do that. Yeah.
And what was interesting, my mom was a bit apprehensive at first to read the book because she was there when I was going through that, you know, suffering, you know, going through the grieving process. And when she read the book, she goes, I didn't even know this is the direction you were going to go into. And what was awesome with the illustrator that did the wonderful illustrations in the book, she suffered from loss herself as well. So she felt connected to the story. And everything. So I'm very grateful for her. And this is the first book of a 3-book series. So the next book is going to be focused on what exactly is grief. But this is coming from the words of the little girl and talk about different ways to be able to cope. You know, I'm interested in equine therapy, which fascinating to me because when I was after that time had passed, my mom had a friend where he had a ranch and I learned how to ride horses. And I didn't realize at the time that was actually therapeutic for me. Learning how to take care of the horses. I learned how the barrel race. So, and then met a lot of my lifelong friends to this very day, my best friend, and you know, they're from the country and everything, and me being from the city. And I was just blown away the fact that, oh, I get to ride a horse and everything. I knew how important that was for me. And the importance of even animals being in our lives. Right now, I have an old English bulldog, Bella, who's in the story. And I've had her since she was 4 months old. She's 8 years old now. And she's been very helpful as well because she knows if I'm feeling sad, she'll come and lay next to me and everything like that. So having that connection, I finally realized how important it really is. And it's not just my relatives, my blood relatives, but like I said, my military family, those are my brothers and sisters as well. And then, of course, the fur babies. My mom has cats. I have my dog. So, you know, it's family all the way around.
Do you have your ideas for the third book?
Yes. Actually, it's going to talk about celebrating the holidays without your loved one there. So we're going to focus on the holidays there.
Wow. This is so wonderful. This has been a great conversation. We're actually just about out of time. Our conversations go so, they just are so rich and so awesome that the time just flies. But before we end our time with you, a lot of folks who chime in on these, they want to know how they can connect with our guests and how they can, you know, how they can get your book and those types of things. So how would they connect with you and your work and with the book? And
I have a website, www.tashaemason.com, TASHAYMASON. I'm also on Twitter, at Tashae Mason. I am on Instagram, at Belle Shea House. That's the name of my little publishing company. Also on Facebook, at Belle Shea House as well. And my book is available on my website, also on Amazon. Google Play Books for those that like to do the e-reading. Also on Kobo, Apple iBooks, and as well as Barnes & Noble Online, too.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Great. And we'll have some of those links right on our pages so people can just click on them and get to you.
Thank you.
So, Tashe, really, truly, we want to thank you for being a guest here at Let's Talk Dev and for sharing your story and the inspiration behind your book, your journey. It's remarkable. It's a lifelong journey. Grief is a lifelong journey.
Yes, it is. I definitely believe that sometimes folks, I've always heard that it gets easier. I like to say it becomes more tolerable.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again. Thank you, Tashe.
If you would like to learn more about Heal Grief, visit us at healgrief.org. To find other conversations or to inquire about becoming a guest speaker, visit us at healgrief.org/letstalkdeath. And if you feel inspired to support us, remember, no gift is too small. Visit us at healgrief.org/donations, or you can donate right through our homepage. Well, that's it until next time on Let's Talk Death, where we normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief.